You are listening to the Trinity Presbyterian Church podcast from Novato, California. Here is this week's adult Sunday school class.
Let's open in prayers. Lord God, you are right and good and true, perfect in all your ways. You have given to us every good and perfect gift. Our health and lives are a gift from you. Our new birth in Christ is a gift in you. Lord, we thank you that you are with us always in whatever is before us, and we praise you for that. Lord, as we start a new Sunday school series, Lord, we thank you that you're with us now. We pray that you would be helping us to think biblically with Christian minds of the matters that are before us in this world. Even as the world thinks of the challenges that the world faces in its own ways, we pray, Lord, that we would have biblical wisdom and discernment. And so, Lord, bless us in our new series. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're at a new Sunday school series, Finish the Belgian Confession. We're now on this new series, Be Awake, Not Woke. Be Awake, Not Woke. Thought for a long time what the right title was, and also even what all I wanted to cover in this mini series. But as I kept reflecting on it, Be Awake, Not Woke, that sort of idea kept coming up. And Jim helped me, or he just left, helped me on the title a little bit as well. And I thought, okay, yeah, this is going to be good. I think a good title to sort of summarize what it is we want to talk about. Now, one of the challenges about the title and potentially the content is one could misunderstand our time as being somehow about politics. And I want to be very clear today and going forward, as you surely know by now, your pastor is very adamant about not talking politics from the pulpit. That's not our place. The church is not a place to talk government politics. But this is a term, woke and woke culture and all that, that probably brings to mind to a lot of people a lot of politics. But we have to remember there are times where there are issues that the Bible speaks to and ideas that the Bible speaks to that are also involved in the political realm. Maybe a simple example is abortion, right? The Bible, from a moral standpoint, tells us, thou shalt not kill, speaks of how we ought to look to promote and preserve life, how life is even there in the womb. And so there's a host of us to be able to talk about those things and ought to, as a church, as part of the ministry of discipleship that we're supposed to be about. But that's not the same as the pastor getting up and saying, therefore, vote for this proposition, or therefore, call your senator and advocate they pass this bill. You should be thinking of how the Bible's teachings would then have application for how you might make phone calls to your senators, or how you might vote for this candidate or this proposition. You should, and I trust as brains, adults with brains, to be able to take the applications and think about how that might relate to how you advocate for things in the government. But here, we're a refuge away from all of that. We're as have a chance to talk and focus on the scriptures. And what does God teach us? And that's my analogy for when we talk of woke culture and are trying to assess it and analyze it, we don't want to delve into the political side of things. It would be easy for us in our conversations to talk about the concepts and concerns and suddenly turn it into so some aspect of politics. We have to be careful of that. I'll be careful of that. And because what we're really wanting to emphasize is thinking about worldview, thinking biblically about the issues that are before us. And I think there's definitely much for us to do. This is something that this idea of wokeness and woke culture has really sort of come up in the last several years. It's not something, when I was a kid that people talked about being woke. And so this is, I think, a contemporary issue that we need to know how to think about. Not the politics, you guys should think about that too, but we're thinking more big picture biblical ideas. So before we really delve in, and I tell you a definition of wokeness, of woke culture, I've heard from a number of folks, people even at times saying, I'm not even sure what the term means. What does it mean to be woke? So I'm going to sort of begin by asking you guys just sort of a little poll here. Anybody have any thoughts on what woke culture means or what woke means? And if you want to say, I don't know, and I'm glad I'm here kind of thing, that's an answer too. What do you guys think when you hear the term woke? What does it mean to be woke? Jerry, what do you think it means to be woke?
Drag.
What's that?
Drag.
Drag?
Yeah.
Like D-R-A-G-G-E-D?
Yeah. Lord, what's your answer?
Okay, well, God bless you. There is a different way this word is being used by folks who aren't coming from a God perspective. So, yeah, we're going to talk about being awake, not woke, which maybe is more along the lines of the awake idea, which is a good idea. What have, any other ideas of what you've heard with the world using this word woke lately? Marlon? Actually, I'm going to ask your wife first. Sarah?
He'll just correct me when I'm saying. I think they're thinking they're using it, saying, wake up to how incorrect a lot of these traditional values are. Wake up, we've been wrong this whole time.
Yeah. And Marlon, now you can correct your wife.
No, I was going to go maybe a slightly different angle, but the idea of waking up to systems being designed to repress or suppress marginalized groups, where systems is defined so broadly to include things like morality, but that all of these things are designed to repress various marginalized groups, and the more groups you belong to, the better you are in the world.
Yeah.
I think it's been a while, but it's a deconstruction of traditional moral biblical doctrines, redefining language. The one where a simple example is, I hear more people talk about gay people. That's the term that was redefined from homosexuality.
Yeah.
So it's getting so common that you don't realize you're being woke.
That's right. That's right. Gene.
Well, I've always considered it a form of religion.
Mm.
I mean, they've got their own idea of creation. They've got their own ideas of a savior. They've got their own ideas of who God is. So it's just another form of religion fighting against Christianity.
Yeah. Mark?
Yeah, to tag along with that, I mean, the idea of woke, like being born again for us, scripturally, it's kind of this religious, kind of a term that ties together. But we look also at the universities, at critical race theory that's being taught. And so, where do these things come from, in our culture? Is like, they're teaching all of these things in the university. Like, this is like required. The social, studies type of thing, the required stuff to learn this at some college level. So
yeah, it's part of the indoctrination. We might say, we might call it in a neutral way indoctrination. When we do indoctrination, they might call us brainwashing. So maybe we could call them brainwashing too. But any religion. Ought to inculcate their teachings and values to their disciples. And that's part of the challenge is many universities is actually part of their agenda is to disciple them in these specific ways. We're asking the question as a sort of beginning to think about this, what have you guys heard or thought of what this whole woke thing is? And I've been, if you didn't notice, I'm taking notes down because a lot of people have had a lot of ideas about this, and a lot of people even didn't know what woke even was. And so I'm trying to take in what you guys have understood this term to be, because I think that'll be helpful for me as I teach, to make sure we're on the same page of what we're talking about here. So what else? Any other ideas? These are really, by the way, so far you guys seem to be nailing it. I think you guys have nailed the sorts of concerns that come up under this idea of wokeness. But any other thoughts before we keep going here? So I think, you guys have done a very good job of summarizing. I'm going to say a few words as well about what does it mean to be woke. And I think when I say some of these things, you'll resonate, because it's the sort of stuff you guys just got done talking about. It's interesting, as a term woke, you find it in an early piece of literature in the early to mid-1900s, and not a lot done with the term for a long time. Until more recently. More recently, it sort of began to take a life on in the 2014-ish time frame. I think that was, my notes, I might have missed the number. It's 2014, 2017. I've got 14, but I feel like it's 17. Anyways, there was a police killing of, police killing, that's not the way I want to describe it. But it is a term that there was a black gentleman, Michael Brown, who was killed by police in the context of a police responding to a situation that was in Ferguson, Missouri. You might remember that one. At that time, folks along the Black Lives Matter sort of movement started particularly promoting this term woke, and the idea in its sort of initial usage was especially with regard to woke, to the issues of the racial discrimination perceived. I mean, we're going to go into depth, because there's obviously a lot of racial discrimination in history and contemporary. But it began with that term really began to be used specifically with regard to concerns about racism, but quickly became much broader. Marlon talked even about the systems idea, right? And so it's really become now, really quickly, not simply about an issue of being awake to issues of racism, but a much broader buzzword for enlightened thinking and solutions, or at least proposed solutions, regarding various problems in society today. And typically those are social problems and problems of an institutional nature. Marlon talked about the systems. And typically touching on matters of discrimination and justice. Often you'll hear promoted along these lines the acronym DIE, diversity, equity, and inclusion. And so these are concerns about issues in our society, concerns over various forms of discrimination, not simply on race, but economic, on gender, on sexuality, on a whole host of issues, that there's this idea that we've been blind and asleep to these societal concerns, or that the systems have been so built that they're promoting these things, even maybe not even realizing it. And the deconstruction idea, whoever said that, said, hey, we need to deconstruct it all and become enlightened to think about it. And so now we've got new solutions for how to deal with these issues. And so what we're going to need to do in our time is we're going to need to think, okay, the different concerns that are raised, are they legitimate concerns? To what degree are they legitimate concerns? What does the Bible say about those concerns? And to the degree that they're illegitimate concerns, then we have to think about how to respond. To the degree that they're legitimate concerns, well, then what is a biblical response to those concerns? And I think that's where we'll find a lot of issues too, is that even where there are areas of legitimate concerns, have they taken and come up with solutions that would be unbiblical? And so why I'm now saying awake, not woke, right? You see the play on words there, right? Is biblically, there's a concept of being awake. In fact, the term woke, as far as I find in its original usage, was intending to make use of biblical language. And yet the way it's used now is far removed from biblical concepts and usage. So we want to sort of go back to be awake in the biblical sense. We need to be awake and think of things Christianly, have Christian minds, a biblical approach to how we assess what's really an issue and what's the biblical advice and counsel for how to resolve those issues. And so the kinds of things you guys talked about is stuff we're going to be delving into over the next several weeks. We're going to have just sort of outline of where we're headed. After today, today is going to be like a wake-up call, I'm calling it. I'm going to read us from Ephesians, and we're going to sort of think vision, biblical. We're not going to delve so much into assessing wokeness yet today, other than what we intend to kind of do right now. But sort of big picture, scripturally see a call to wake up to these concerns. But then next week, we're going to begin to get into critical theory. Now you mentioned critical race theory. What most people don't appreciate is critical race theory is one specific application of critical theory. And there's other critical theories on other topics as well. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that and relate to institutions and systems, as using language Marlon used, talk about some of those things in relation to each other, because the theory is related to how one views and interacts with systems and institutions. Then our next section is going to be delved into a number of, basically delved into discrimination issues. And there's a number of subtopics under discrimination that we're going to deal with. And then we're going to get into the next topic after that, talking about abuse. And that's a buzzword that's used a lot out there. But what does it look like? What biblically might be more helpful ways to assess issues and how to respond to abuse? And there's issues of abuse that we're going to consider. We're going to talk about matters of justice and even matters of conflict resolution as it touches on some of these things. We're going to talk about matters of self. I have a few different items of how we see ourself in all of this. And then I'm going to, at our final lesson, we'll have a bit of conclusion where we sort of wrap all these things together and begin to digest going forward. What does it look like? So that's sort of a real high level. There's going to be stuff I work into this as we go, like maybe some of these buzzwords you've heard, like intersectionality and cancel culture, and some of these things you've heard, we're going to touch on them along the way as we work on the categories that those would fall into. Virtue signaling, going to talk a little bit about that. A number of these things that you're hearing about, we're going to touch on some of these stuff as we go through it. So, but for today, I want us to turn to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 21. This is our wake-up call for this topic here. Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse, starting in verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So, amen. I hope even as we set up our topic today, as we read through that, you hopefully began to see how this written so long ago and yet has such immediate ramifications and application for today. Start in verse 14 there. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. I mean, that's our wake-up call right there. Our wake-up call is right there. This woke language is a biblical imagery that's been used to talk about things that are very much not biblical. And that's how things tend to go astray, is when something is just presented as completely not true, no one buys into it. But when they take some truth and mix some not truth, it's much more compelling. And so, yeah, we want to be, dare I say, woke. Awoke in the right sense. We want to be awakened. We want to be awake. And let's then actually, now at verse 14, what is it in context actually even talking about? Well, if you look carefully in the context, this awake, O sleeper, it's actually speaking of spiritual regeneration. I was so happy when Mark, I didn't pay him to say this, when Mark mentioned how versus us being born again, you know, kind of comparing them sort of thinking that they sort of had a new birth, a new way of thinking versus us as born again Christians. Like the specific language of verse 14 here is actually referencing that Christians are born again. And there's two imagery in there, the wake up idea and the resurrection idea. See, it says, awake, O sleeper. Sleepers, you know, need to wake up and then arise from the dead. Dead need to resurrect. And so you have both of those ideas merged together. And in the context, and we read it, it's a reference to the regeneration that's necessary for anyone to truly know the Lord. And so before regeneration, we are spiritually dead. Before regeneration, we are like, it's like we're asleep in the dark. And so new birth is to arise, spiritual resurrection, and the light shines in the morning. The light shines in the morning. It wakes you up, right? That's the idea. And so this is speaking of what is the case for Christians. And, of course, this comes from Christ by the Holy Spirit. And the reason why I've been talking about in context, this is about regeneration, because when you look before and after, we see that it's talking just before this about how we had been in darkness, but not anymore. Now the light of the Lord has come to us. We've been awakened. The light of Christ has shown us how to think, how to live. The light of the Lord has come to us. This is passages asserting that this has already happened to us Christians. We've already been awakened. We were dead, but spiritually we've been raised. We've been born again. And so what this passage is saying, in light of that, that this has come to us, is now we need to live like that. We need to live as those who've been awakened. We need to live as those who've been enlightened. We need to live as those who've been spiritually resurrected. We actually are the enlightened people. Again, the woke culture is basically saying, we've become enlightened and need to tell you now what the problems are and how to solve them. And again, we're going to assess their claims specifically. But today we're reminding ourselves that we have become enlightened in Christ, in our new birth. That does not mean that therefore we always live consistent to it. Otherwise, this passage wouldn't have been written. This is saying that we can become born again and still struggle to live like it.
Okay.
Yes.
This verse is a record for the Christian believer, or I don't know somebody will do it.
Yes. So notice it says, therefore it says, so he quotes, and by the way, interesting, it's unclear where this quote comes from. Likely it's an allusion and application of Isaiah 26:19, but that's not a word for word quote. Some have suggested that they took Isaiah 26:19 and it sort of turned it into a Christian hymn and made it more explicitly Christian, and that maybe he's quoting that Christianized hymn version of Isaiah 26, but he's quoting a reference. And that reference is essentially a call to a new life. And he's saying, just like we've been told, and you can imagine the gospel is calling us to a new life, just as we've been told to come to have a new life in Christ, that's now what you have. You now have that. You've already awoken. Now you need to live like it. Yeah, good. So look at what it says here then. Look at verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. What that is saying is there's a part of this wake-up call now, part of the living in light of the light we have. We need to have discernment with what the world would have us to think and do. The world is telling us a certain message. The world is trying to convey its worldview, its way of thinking, its way of seeing the issues, and its way of trying to address them. We need to not be deceived. I mean, Jean, I think that's a very insightful way of putting it when she said it's like a whole other religion. Right? I think there's a lot to be concerned about, right? That this is essentially a form of a different kind of religion. They have their own way of salvation by saving the world and all its systems. And we have to be on guard not to be deceived by what they're selling. And it says, don't become partners with them. See, that's what they're trying to do. Their wokeness that they're claiming is actually empty words. They're claiming to be so enlightened. But when we assess it, we're going to see that they're empty words, that they're trying to get you to come on board with their way of thinking. It's interesting, when they claim to be woke, basically they're claiming to see, and to see in a way that others haven't seen before. Interesting, remember what Jesus told in John 9, the religious leaders. Basically they were saying, are you accusing us of being blind, and basically implying that they could see, and they thought they could see. And Jesus said, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. Essentially, this sort of woke claims are saying we see in a way that no one else has seen before. And there's a great danger on that. Again, if it's light from above, that's what we want. But if it's man's way of thinking and man's solution, it becomes a problem. See when it says, let no one deceive you, it is telling us they want to convince you. And isn't that the case right now? Yelena?
I just came to my mind, Jesus himself, his disciples asked him, what are the signs of the end of times? And the very first thing that Jesus told them, do not be deceived.
That's right.
And that's what we see now, deception everywhere.
That's right. If you notice, there's a couple aspects to the deceiving aspect. There's the commending it in a lot of media. This is the right way to think. Those other ways in the past, like Sarah was saying, those other ways, those are the wrong ways of thinking. We now have figured out the right way of thinking. And then if you disagree with that, you are canceled or a hater, right? Like, so you see they're trying to control and convey and commend and force in different ways you to think the way they want you to think. We need to be on guard. Discernment is needed. Watchfulness is needed. And of course, how do we discern? How do we go about discerning truth from there? Well, this passage will tell us a little more as we go through, but in general, it means we need to think biblically. We need to assess biblically the things they're saying. Do they match up with what Scripture says and how Scripture says to think and address these things? That's our story. That's what we got to go back to. You know, it was true for the Bereans when Paul was bringing them claims of revelation that they went back and checked it. It's certainly true now for us when the world says they've been enlightened. We need to go back and see what does the real light say about these things. And so if we don't recognize that there's an agenda here by the world to convey these things, to try to deceive you, and just to clarify, to say deceive, that sort of sounds like it has a malicious intention behind it. I don't even necessarily mean that in and of itself. What I mean is, when I say that, is I would imagine many of the folks promoting these woke ideas believe them wholeheartedly, are fully convinced of it, and think that absolutely this is the best solution. They're convinced of it, but if it's not actually true, it would deceive us for us to buy into it. Lisa?
I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but it sounds like, is that proselytizing?
Proselytizing, yeah. It goes into the Gene's comment, like there's a proselytizing that the world is doing, and they hate it when we proselytize, and I'm okay with them proselytizing, except I just will proselytize against them, I think freedom of speech, Petaluma has been a big uproar this week because the Gideons were out passing the Bible to pray for the Gideons, and that whole bunch of high school parents started getting upset. How dare they pass out Bibles? Well, what do you want to end up like communist China? You can't even share your ideas. That's not freedom. Anyways, so look at verse 8 here. Verse 8, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. So again, think of this in the context, right? We're to walk as children of light. Walk's about that thing we do every day. How do we live? How do we act? How do we talk? How do we think? We're to do that according to the light that's come to us as born-again Christians. So, if we're tempted to some particular sin, the light shines and says, well, God's word says here, that's a sin. Okay, we need to not walk that way. We turn from it. If you're in darkness, you won't see that sin before you, and so you'll fall into it. We need to walk as children of the light. And I think this language of light here is essentially getting at this idea when I've been speaking today about worldview, right, and awakeness, right? That's the light. Is the light on? And the light on is going to help you to see how to live and how to think and how to walk. And that light is our worldview that we want to live by. It says, in all that is good and right and true. You maybe heard that in other places, you know, it's a common Christian phrase about truth, goodness, and beauty, right? Well, that's the same idea, good, right, and true, right? We want to look and evaluate and see that God's ways are good, right, and true. And that's part of what we'll assess as we go into assessing wokeness over the next several weeks, is what they're saying ultimately good, right, and true. Again, I think they have some beauty that they are attaching their bigger agenda to, which is what attracts people to it. And we have to be able to assess the whole thing and say, is really what they're selling, proselytizing, right? Is it really good, right, and true? Because it says we need to hear, quote, try to discern what's pleasing to the Lord. See, this is discipleship as well. Training God's people how to recognize and discern what is good, right, and true, and how to see behind things that promote themselves that way, but actually are empty in their ultimate promises. It says we need to take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. See the contrast, the fruitful works of light and the unfruitful works of darkness. It is amazing, as one example, how much racism seems to be promoted through this woke idea of putting away racism. I mean, it's just amazing. And so, you know, we need to not take part in their unfruitful works of darkness. And we need to instead expose them. It's amazing in wokeness. They quote, you know, have you share your story, and these stories get spread all over. And when you look at them, 95% of them are slandering people and not giving the other side an opportunity to say their side of the story. So you see, as just a couple just quick examples that we're going to delve into more in the weeks ahead, there's a lot of stuff that when you hear it, like at first, oh, we want to relieve oppression in our society. Sounds nice. But when you see how they're trying to go about it, they're not using biblical reconciliation principles. They're not actually working on the biblical foundation, the framework that we should be coming from. Notice it says, instead, expose them. You guys see that there in verse 11? Part of our time over the next several weeks is going to essentially be a bit of an apologetics with regard to how to interact with the woke culture. Because it says here we're supposed to expose the darkness for what it is. You're going to be interacting with folks who are either sold on this or are being sold to on this. And we need to be able to expose these things. And because there are core issues of how to think and live in this world. So there's an apologetics. You know, we mentioned a moment ago about all that is good, right, and true. We're going to have to expose what is bad, wrong, and false. Right? We want to expose this. There's an apologetic side of it. Now, we don't want to expose it in a way that itself is bad, wrong, or false. What I mean by that is sometimes people who are in our apologetics, they're so animated and get so frustrated by everything that the world is bringing that they're just nasty in response to the world. That's not the way a Christian ought to promote our convictions, right? We need to be careful how we go about that. We need to have it out of genuine love and concern for their soul. We need to be bringing this because we want to drive them to the light that's in Christ Jesus, and particularly that they would find the ultimate solution for this world's problems in Christ and in the age to come. Because a lot of the things that they, you know, again, on the high level, say they want to see, guess what? It's going to happen in glory. And it doesn't mean we can't promote some of those things here and now, but like, yeah, in glory, there's not going to be oppression of poor people. You know, there's a lot of things that we can use winsomely to say, you've got some good goals here, but actually, how do we get to them in Christ here and now and also in glory? So there's an apologetics component that can expose, but we need to make sure we do it in a way that's winsome, loving, merciful, kind, and not angry, arrogant, hateful in a wrong, offending sense. I'm going to have to take your question a minute because I need to finish mine here. So the last few things I want to just sort of draw our attention to real quick. In verse 15, it speaks to the need for wisdom. Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise but as wise. And then in verses 18 and 19, or not verse 18 and 19. Yes, in verse 18 and 19, speaks of how we address each other. And I think these two aspects are really important as we go forward. As we think about this and try to think about how to respond, wisdom is needed and fellowship is needed to work together on these issues to think about how to respond to the world in an appropriate way. Why? For verse 20, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The glory of God is ultimately to go forth in all of this too. So I kind of rushed just to the last few little bits there, but just want to commend, we're going to need to get wisdom involved, and we're going to need to benefit from each other's fellowship and dialogue fruitfully, how to best winsomely, lovingly address the world. And Renee, do you got a quick comment there? I'll give it to you here at the end.
Yeah, well, it's just basically all this, like Gene was saying, it's a false religion that people walk in.
Yeah.
Right? And so they want to do away with the glory of God and the image of God.
Yeah.
And all that he created.
Yeah. So good. This is our wake-up call for today. Next week, we'll delve into getting into some of the details and assessing it. Remember, next week's topic is going to be on critical theory and its relationship to institutions and thinking biblically and assessing that. We're out of time. Let me close this in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the chance to begin to get this wake-up call. We thank you. You have awoken us in Christ Jesus by the Spirit. But we want to live in that light, and we want to be on guard against the darkness that's out there in the world that would look to shine its darkness upon us. We pray, Lord, that we instead would be used to shine your light, not only to expose some of the specific moral problems that are here, Lord, but particularly to bring them to the ultimate salvation that's in Christ Jesus and the hope of the new creation that we have as Christians, because we want them and all people to be there in glory with us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.